Good morning, and welcome to the presentation of the results of Grupo Sura fourth quarter. My name is Maria, and I'll be your operator today. Right now, all of the attendees are in silent mode. Ahead, we'll have a Q&A session. For those that are listening the English version and only connected by the web, you can send your questions through the platform. Please keep in mind that this teleconference is being taped. As of now, let's listen to Mr. Juan Carlos Gomez, Manager of Relations Investments of Grupo Sura. Good morning, and thank you for joining us at this teleconference of the fourth quarter of 2016 of Grupo Sura. I'd like to remind you that you can find the slides that we'll be following at our website. Today, we have in this call from Grupo Sura our CEO, David Bujanini, Ricardo Jaramillo, Corporate Finance VP, Fernando Soto, Manager of Accounting, Cristina Salazar, Director of Legal Affairs. And with our subsidiaries, we have Andres Bernal, who's the Corporate Affairs VP of Sura Asset Management, Juan Fernando Uribe, and Lucas Ramirez, Investments Manager of Suramericana. Now let's listen to our CEO, David Bujanini. Good day, everyone, and I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us in this teleconference. I will discuss today highlights of the fourth quarter of 2016 and at the end of 2016. I'd like for you to move to slide five. Here on slide five, you can see the consolidated assets of the company. The consolidated assets of Grupo Sura closed on the fourth quarter of 2016 at 67.8 billion pesos. This means a variation of 22.1%, which is equivalent to 12.3 billion pesos compared to the figures seen in December 2015. This significant variation is displayed by including 7.6 billion from RSA, of which you can highlight everything that has to do with accounts receivable, which is equivalent to 2.4 billion to reinsurers and 1.5 billion pesos in the portfolio of premiums granted. We can see that investments grew to 26 billion pesos, up 20.6%. And we can also see that reserves were 2.6 billion, which had significant growth, mainly explained by the inclusion of the reserves of RSA. And you can say that these are the main items of the consolidated assets of Grupo Sura. The investments grew also because of the sound dynamics of the yields of our portfolios. Moving on, please, to slide six, we can see total liabilities. Here we have total liabilities that grew 43.9%, 13 billion pesos. Of these liabilities, you can highlight technical reserves for 26 billion pesos, up 37.8%, and the financial liabilities, which add up to 9.7 billion pesos, which we will see in the next slide. Also on slide six, you can see total equity on the right-hand side, which reached 25.4 billion, down 2.6% compared to the figure displayed in December 2015. Moving on to slide seven, you can see the composition of the liabilities and the individual consolidated financial debt consists of 4.6 billion pesos, and It's made up 63.2% of Colombian pesos and the rest in U.S. dollars. On the bottom of slide 7, you can see the consolidated debts, which are equivalent to 9.7 billion pesos, and the composition per type of debt and bonds is almost 60% banks, 31.8% derivatives, 6.2%, which is the most important. And by company, we have Grupo Sura, 50.4%, Sura Asset Management, 37%, and Sura Americana, 12.7% of the debt. Okay, moving on to slide 8. You see the capability to generate cash flow of Grupo Sura. This is before distributing dividends. The capacity is of 630,000 million pesos. In revenues, in dividends, we receive 1,033,000 in dividends, of which, this is in 2016, of which in expenses, we have 145,000 million, and we have a cash flow, an operating cash flow of the rest. And in interest, we pay 258,000 million for that cash flow that's available for dividends and for other investments, 630,000 million pesos. Moving on, please, to slide 9, we see the statement of integral results. Let's begin with revenues. The company added up in revenues a total of 18.9 billion pesos, up 36.2%. These revenues, you can highlight the retained premiums of 10.8 billion, up 43.8%. We also have revenues from commissions of 2.18 billion, up 11.9%. Services provided, 2.3 billion, up 18.7%. Revenues from investments, 2.1 billion, up 44.8%. And equity method of the associate companies, especially those in equity method, are Bancolombia, Grupo Argos, Nutresa, and Protección. This displayed a growth of 28%. And the difference in exchange were 271,000 million pesos. These are basically the consolidated revenues. In expenses, we have 16.9 billion pesos, up 40.1%. And here you can highlight the retained resources, the adjustment of reserves of 2.8 billion, up 12.6%. The cost of services provided, which revenues from this of 2.1 billion really refer to services of healthcare, mandatory healthcare, everything that has to do with the EPS. And cost of services provided of 2.3 billion, up 16.2%, refers to the same thing. Administrative expenses of 3.5%, commissions to intermediaries 2.5 billion, which grew 118%. And here you can see a significant effect because including RSA and the type of business, some types of businesses that RSA had, which have significant commissions, which are paid at the beginning of the business, and that's why we have the significant growth. Interest for 533,000 million pesos, up 86.2% due to the higher indebtedness. So the net profit closed at 1.67 billion pesos, exhibiting a positive variation of 26.3% compared to what was displayed in 2015. Moving on, please, to slide 10, you can see the difference performance of the stock. It closed Grupo Sura 38,200 with a variation of 7% per year, and the preferential at 37,000 with a variation of 6.3%. The coal cap, which closed at 1,352 points, had a variation of 17.2%. The company closed the year among shareholders with 853 international funds, which among them all have 21.8% of total stocks. Moving on to slide 11, we can see the portfolio of Grupo Sura. This portfolio amounts to 24.4 billion pesos at December 2016. Here, Bancolombia represents 24.5% of the portfolio. Sura Asset Management, 26.8%. Sura Asset Management is with value at books. Sura Americana, which is also value at books, 16.4%. And this means that in financial services, the companies represent 64.7% of the portfolio. Grupo Nutresa, 16.5%. Grupo Argos, 18.2%. And other investments, 0.5%. Bancolombia and Grupo Argos and Nutresa are valued at the prices, market price. Okay, now let's move on, please, to slide 13. Here we see the results of Sura Insurance Trends and Risks. Here we see the main figures. Total revenues of Sura Americana added up to 11.7 billion pesos, up 53.7%. Excluding RSA, Sura would have grown 20.5%. Among the most important items of the revenues, you can see here retained premiums for almost 8 billion pesos, which had a variation of 60%, and revenues from services, which has to do with health care that I mentioned before, of 0.13 billion, growing 20.7%, and revenues from investments, 1.1 billion, which is 82.7%. Likewise, we see total expenses of 13.7 billion up 53.6%. Excluding RSA, the expenses would have grown 22.7%. And this is explained, this growth of 22.7 of the expenses is mainly explained because of expenses. Some derived from the integration of the operations of RSA and several payments related as well with the interest of the new debt acquired for this acquisition. If we would exclude the expenses related to the operation of RSA, really Sudamericana's expenses would have grown 16%. Net profit closed at 401,000 million pesos with a variation of 17%. So these are the main figures of Sudamericana. But we must keep in mind that the profit excluding RSA would have been or would have grown 17.6%, a bit higher than what was displayed by the company. Because when it comes to RSA, there were several significant adjustments made to the financial statements, amounting to about 111,000 million pesos, including the elimination of the expenses deferred for 18,000 million pesos, the degradation of the affinity contract for 3,310 million, degradation of the Financia Expreso, which is a business of RSA Colombian for 8,000 million pesos, an adjustment of Plusvalía Chile for almost 20,000 million, expenses of integration for 22,000 million, and net amortization of intangibles of almost 41,000 million pesos. So, if we look at everything by segment, moving on to slide 14, we see that life segment, we have a revenue of 18% higher, and an investment, 765,000 million pesos, and other revenues of 60,000 million. Retained losses, you can see these reach 2.6 million. And you can see the other items, administrative expenses of 585,000 million, payment of commissions for almost 700,000 million, for a net profit of life of 680,000 million pesos. In the healthcare segment, we have revenues of 2.5 billion pesos, revenues from investments of 36,000 million, expenses or costs and administrative expenses of 306,000 million and a net profit of 18,000 million pesos. So when it comes to healthcare, it's important to keep in mind the expenses per service includes the mandatory healthcare service, which has a high profitability level, and that's why we see these costs of services that are quite high. Okay, moving on, please, to slide 15. We have the non-life segment, and this includes the business of RSA. The retained premiums are 4.1 billion. The growth of investments, 254,000 million. Other revenues of 457,000 million. And if we exclude, we have retained losses, adjustments of reserves as well, administrative expenses of 1 billion pesos, commissions for 1.4 billion, which give as a result a net profit of 450,000 million pesos. Here you can see that there are several things worth mentioning in the non-life segment. There is a significant growth of retained premiums because of the inclusion of RSA of 267%. But without RSA, that growth would have been of 28.4%. Automobiles have a growth of 25%, which is one of the solutions that displays the best dynamics throughout the year. And revenues from investments have a growth of 145% total. Moving on to slide 16, now we see revenues and premiums and retained losses through a solution type. For instance, on life, you can see a growth of premiums of 11.1%, where you can highlight the premiums of health. This is different to the mandatory healthcare system. These are more with premiums of 899,000 million pesos, up 18%, with a loss ratio of 53.8%. We also have work risks with 822,000 million pesos, up 14%, with a loss ratio of 83%, and life insurance, 720,000 in premiums, up 9.9%, with a loss ratio of 25.7%. With regards to non-life, we can highlight automobiles with 1 billion pesos in premiums, up 25%, as I told you before, and losses, a loss ratio of 64.4%. I'd like to shed light on the fact that when it comes to health care and automobiles, especially in this last quarter, we worked on the cost of the loss ratio related to the dollar. And we managed that during the quarter, the loss ratio from automobiles would reach 53%, which is lower than what we saw throughout the year. Also in healthcare, there are medications and other devices which have a cost related to the dollar, which we controlled, and the loss ratio dropped from 70 to 55% in the last quarter. With regards to mandatory healthcare, the loss ratio moved from 93.8 to 92.8, and this 1 point less contributes significantly to the profits displayed by the mandatory healthcare segment. Now, please, let's move to slide 18 to look at the results of Suda Asset Management. We have total revenues of 5.9 billion pesos, up 12.2%. These revenues consist of the following. We have retained premiums of 2.8 billion up to 12.4%. Revenues from commission of 1.88 billion up 4.8%. Revenue from investments of 1.806 billion up 32.6%. And through the equity method, 119 million pesos of 14.8%. Mainly, this has to do with Protección and Crecer. Really, we have here, you can see here that the commissions had lower growth, and we have to highlight that both in Peru and in Chile, the new affiliates were part of the bid, and we, for obvious reasons, did not gain the bids in both countries. Retained premiums grew 12.4%, which is significant in the business of insurance that Suda Asset Management, especially annuities. Now, moving at total expenses, these grew 10.8%. We're talking about 5.18 billion pesos. These operating expenses grew 6.8%, and administrative expenses grew 4.7%. So this gives us a net profit of Suda Asset Management of 617,000 million pesos, up 22.8% in Colombian pesos. And if we look at this at constant rates compared to 2015, the growth would be 20.7%. Here you can underline mainly that in expenses, reserves grew little Because with the new law enacted in Peru, where individuals can take out 95% of their savings when they retire, the issuance or sale of annuities decreased significantly. So this is an expense that we have to highlight that's very important in the adjustment of reserves and the control that we have of administrative expenses. Okay, now let's move to slide 19. And here we see the mandatory segment per country. So here you can see firstly managed assets, which total 300 million dollars. No, 300 billion pesos, sorry. And grew 8.6%. Positive growths were seen in all the countries. In Chile, this grew 4.4%. Mexico, almost 10%. And we have to underline that in Mexico, CONSAT granted us 1 million new clients because of the good yields of the portfolios, and that explains in part this higher growth that was displayed in Mexico. Colombia grew 13.3%, Uruguay 13.4%, Peru 18.8%, and El Salvador 8.2%. The number of affiliates to the funds closed at 17 million, up 8%. As I told you, with the bids of the new affiliates in Chile, there's a drop of 2.5% in number of affiliates, and in Peru, of 0.5%. The salary base, which is what's used to calculate commissions in all the countries, excluding Mexico, grew 3.7%. And we have to highlight the growth of Uruguay of 12.5% and Colombia 7.1%. You can observe lower growths in Peru of 0.4%, Chile 0.9%. And on the bottom right, on slide 19, you can see the rates of commissions, which really don't show much variations, excluding Mexico, where the commission is calculated based on managed assets, which every year, when these assets grow, these commissions drop gradually. Now, slide 20 shows you more figures of the mandatory segment. Let's begin with revenues from commissions, which reached 1.7 billion pesos, up 3%. The highest growth is seen in Uruguay with 12.8%, followed by the return of the reserve, amounting to 92,000 million pesos, up 18.8%. We have to highlight that the reserve showed good growth, especially in Peru, where the performance was good and we saw a growth of 160%. We have negative yields in Chile. In Mexico, there were positive yields, but overall, it was quite volatile, especially in Mexico in the last quarter because of the results of the elections in the USA. Operating expenses displayed 258,000 million pesos, with growths that are very similar in all the countries controlling the expenses, of course. And the net profit of this mandatory segment was 924,000 million pesos, up 8.1%. We have to underline the profit of Colombia of 26.1%, and in Chile of 18.3%. On slide 21, we have the results of the voluntary segment. The managed assets reached 27.2 billion pesos, up 20%. And it's important to keep this in mind because this is the activity in which SUDA Asset Management has been making the most investments. And we can see how there's a reaction in the growth of the assets managed. We have to underline the growth overall in all of the countries, especially in Peru, where we made an acquisition of a broker which had assets managed as well. That's why Peru has 94.6% growth. But really, overall, in all of the countries, there's good performance. The number of voluntary clients reached 950,000 clients, up 13%. And also, growth is seen in all of the countries. The net flow had a great performance of 3.5 billion pesos, up 70.5%. And this net flow had important variations in all the countries, especially in Peru, because of what I've said before, but also in Mexico, of 106%. And the net profit, when it comes to yields of the voluntary segment, these were really good as well, of 1.6 billion pesos, up 73%. This growth in yields is precisely what drives to have a net flow that has such a good growth as well. Moving on to slide 22. Also, with regards to the voluntary segment, we have revenues from commissions of 164,000 million pesos, up 12.4%, with significant growth in Uruguay, Chile, 13.4%, and Peru, almost 20%. Net premiums with savings amount to 1 billion pesos, up 31.9%. And here you can see that Chile stands out with a growth of 32.2%. Operating expenses reach 103,000 million pesos. You have to see that since this is the segment that we have been developing the hardest, we've also been making investments in this segment, especially in Chile, where there's a lot of growth in commissions as well as in investments and commercial expenses. Lastly, this segment has a net loss of 52,000 million pesos, which is mainly explained because of the loss of 30,000 million pesos observed in Chile related to deferred taxes, which was a situation that was just a spot situation. And slide 23, we had the premiums of SUDA Asset Management dropping 3.3% because of the lower sales of annuities in Peru, which dropped 42%. In the other countries, there were positive growth. The adjustment of reserves was of 1.5 billion pesos, also with a drop of 7.8%. mainly because of the lower sales of the annuities in Peru. Retained losses were 636 billion pesos, up 22.7%, and net profit was 175,000 million pesos, up 133%. This is mainly explained, this growth of profits is explained, obviously, because of the decreased sales in Peru, which create less reserves, and this make the results be seen much more positive, since we don't have these significant adjustments of the reserves with the annuities. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, with this, I finished the presentation, and we can begin the Q&A session for this teleconference. Thank you. As of now, we begin the Q&A session. We'll begin receiving the questions verbally in the Spanish version. For those that are listening in English or only connected by the web, please send your question through the platform. Later, we will read and answer your question. For those that are on the Spanish line, please press star 1. If you want to remove your question, please press pound. Remember, if you have a question, press star 1 on your phone. We have a question from Mr. Edgar Romero from BBVA. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions. One is related to what risks and opportunities do you see if there is a pension reform in Colombia? Because Santiago Montenegro has been talking about this recently, so I'd like to know what's your viewpoint with regards to risks and opportunities. And second, this has to do with the law of financial conglomerates. Okay, Edgar. With regards to the pension reform of Colombia, I'd say that what we see the most are opportunities. In Colombia, you can increasingly see the need of making a pension reform, a reform that would improve the coverage for the affiliates, because we have a very low coverage if it's measured in terms of number of people entitled to a pension. So more than measuring than people that contribute, because those that contribute will not meet the minimum weeks, so they just have returns of balances. If we think about a reform compared to that of Chile, mainly, where they have a three-pillar system, which is not a competition between a medium, premium, and a contribution, but instead a system of three pillars where we have the basic pension, which is equivalent to a subsidized pension. The second pillar are the savings of the people, and the third pillar is a voluntary savings. This would show opportunities that are significant for the individual savings system. This has been discussed widely in Colombia, and in turn has been pushed back way too long. But I would say that we see more opportunities than risks, obviously. One of the risks involved here is to design a system that's much more focused on the medium or mean premium, which would hurt the fiscal situation of Colombia, because this type of system has very high subsidies, which would end up absorbing most of the national budget, as we can see today. And it's very worrisome for the future. So if we make a reform that's conscientious, where you can seek a true solution to the pensions in Colombia, there are much more opportunities than risks. And with regards to the conglomerates law, I would say the following. This law will be discussed again in Congress. And on this matter, we've had many conversations with the government. And truly, the main risks that we saw there, we have been guaranteed by the Ministry of Treasury, which has led this initiative, that everything has to do with investments, pension funds will not be hurt by this new law. Conglomerates, especially Protección, can continue investing with the same limits in the stocks that it has in companies that are associated to our group. And with regards to the consolidation of operations, for instance, Bancolombia, if Bancolombia becomes a controlled entity, accounting-wise, it's clear that we will not consolidate the financial statements of Bancolombia in those of Grupo Sura because of the confusions that this could create. I mean, these are concerns that we've discussed with the government, and the government has given us some peace of mind on this, on these matters. This is what I can tell you so far. Thank you, Dr. Buonini. My pleasure. Next question from Johanna Castro from BBVA. Good morning. My question relates to the results of the fourth quarter of Suramericana, especially the impact this has on the dividends for Grupo Sura. If you look at the adjustments of the reserves and the commissions for third parties and intermediaries, truly, you can see that indeed it's a business that will have to be strongly intervened commercially because the model is entirely different. So I'd like to know what insight you can give us for this year. What's the plan? Can you give us an idea of what will happen for the rest of the year? But what happened in the last quarter was a one-off? Juan Fernando Uribe will reply this question. Good morning. Firstly, as you've said, this effect that we had specifically in the last quarter has significant considerations of adjustments, and that has to do with our accounting policies. So this was just a one thing. It won't have any effect later. The other effects that we mentioned before include specifically the elimination of deferred expenses from the acquisitions of RSA, which in our policy, we did not defer those expenses of acquisition. Likewise, we had adjustments of some affinity or mass market contracts in Mexico, Brazil, and Colombia, which are adjustments made because of the reality of those businesses, which is also a one-time thing. We also made an adjustment because of the acquisition price in Chile, because when we made the initial calculations, we made them keeping in mind the accounting local figures, but when we moved this to IFRS, we had to make some adjustments. Also, the integration expenses that we had with the affiliates is also a project executed entirely in 2016 and for which we have no assignment for 2017. So these are the main effects that, as I said, that in the year totaled 120,000 million pesos that we do not expect that these will become recurrent. And therefore, we have no problem to generate the dividends or to have the profits for the dividends for our shareholders. Indeed, these dividends for 2017 are estimated with a commercial growth that's similar to the previous years. The only thing that will be recurring is the amortization of intangibles as a result of these acquisitions and prior acquisitions. We're talking about 70,000 million pesos per year, which we do consider within Sudamericana's financial statements, but not of the affiliates. On the other hand, we have, within each of our affiliates, we've been implementing some strategies, new topics, looking at our solutions and how to incur in the life business with these affiliates in different countries and the voluntary life, and other solutions regarding the experience that we've had in Colombia. That's our aim, along with the management of trends and risks, which we think will be novel by the company with customers and also with our distribution channels. So what's the effort really, the economic effort to implement life? I mean, life is a sacrament that for Suda is extremely important. I mean, I'm trying to look ahead because the experience that Suda Asset Management has had prior and voluntary portfolios, I mean, it's a 2 to 3 year effort with negative effects. So when it comes to Suda, the segment of life, why are we talking about it really in terms of investments? Well, we will incur more on life, voluntary, individual, group life, and also in healthcare policies, voluntary. So really, these are efforts that we will leverage in our current distribution channels in the other countries. Something that we do have to do is to train people to provide these services to our clients. Especially our corporate clients. However, for us, this business won't be expensive for us. I mean, this is something that grows as you incur and enter the market. And what we want is to create strong networks to distribute the product. And we don't think that this is will represent a high investment. Okay, thank you. We have a question from Catherine Ortiz, the Vivienda Corredor. Good morning. My question has been mostly replied with the prior question, but I'd like to know if you can provide us a guide of the profitability you expect at Sudamericana for 2017. And on the other hand, I have a question related to SWAM, focused in Peru. Dr. Bohanini said before that in Peru, there was an adjustment of reserves because of the pension reform that was carried out in Peru. I'd like to know if this effect is just beginning and will it be stronger at the beginning of this 2017, or if the biggest impact was seen on the fourth quarter of 2016. Let me answer that question to you, the second question, then Dr. Odiri can answer the first question. We really didn't have an adjustment of reserves because of the reform. Really, what happened, the people, when they took out their money when they retired, they didn't buy annuities as they did before. And since they bought less annuities, we had to make less adjustments or reserves. So as you can see in the results, in Peru, with regards to insurance, there is a significant increase of profits, obviously, because there are yields of the reserves sold before, but since there are no sales, since there are no sales of annuities, the adjustments were little. So it's not that there are really adjustments of reserves that are big. Otherwise, really, you do not see a growth of reserves of annuities. I don't know if that really explained what you were asking, yes. Okay, with regards to 2017, Sudamericana has large figures. We'll have revenues of $13 billion total in 2016 to $14.8 billion. That's part of our 2017 plan. Profits also would reach 735,000 million pesos at Suramericana. And when placed in the equity method, these profits would be 467,000 million, up 17% compared to the end of 2016. So these are interesting and important growths for us, and as I told you before, we keep in mind here everything has to do with the amortization of intangibles, which amount to 39,000 million pesos. Thank you so much for your answers. Next question, Edgar Romero from BBVA. Okay. Good morning again. I have other questions that are important to me. First, there's a new law of healthcare law that it was enacted recently. I'd like to know, what's your opinion about that law? Given that the healthcare segment has high revenues, and everything has to do with expenses is quite high as well. So the result really has low returns. And personally, I think that's a risk that's important for all the companies that provide healthcare services. That's my first question. Second question. There was a mission. I would like to know if the resources that Sudamericana used was for capitalizing Sudamericana or at the acquisition of RSA. And two other questions. Could you explain to me why the taxes of Sudamericana paid in the fourth quarter was so low compared to the year before? And fourth question, with Mexico, which has such a volatile market now, what are you doing to protect the company once you have the dividends out of that geography? Juan Fernando Uribe will reply the question on the new health care law and the questions related. The Grupo Sura will be replied by Ricardo Jaramillo. And the last question will be answered by Andres Bernan from Sura Asset Management. So let's begin with Mr. Uribe. Well, with regards to the new health care statutory law, we're very cautious. And because still there's a lot to determine and to implement with regards to this law. So gradually we'll be looking at the results of this new law. We have to be very cautious. We see that there are things that are necessary, but we have to gradually look how it's implemented and its effect. I'd like to say as well that although the profits The mandatory health care says they're worth 35,000 million pesos. It's not really a big figure. You're right saying that any sensitivity in the loss ratio can erase the profits. However, the EPS student has always displayed profits which percentage-wise have a good yield. And that's thanks to the fact that there's a lot of control in medical expenses. We're always innovating on how we have our agreements with the IPS and with the physicians and the pharmacies. And we try to keep those costs quite controlled. I mean, talking about a loss ratio of 92% and to have profits is a huge effort made in controlling administrative expenses, which is something that we do very well, finely tuned in the company. And depending on how we look at this law and how it's enacted, if the loss ratios grow a lot, the government will have to review as well the unit of payment. So it is sensitive, yes, but obviously we're controlling it, and if the loss ratio is way too high because of this new law, we'll have to resort to request its revision. The first question related to the bonds that we issued of Sur Americana, but we're talking about really the ones that we issued last week at Grupo Sura, right? Yes. Well, there are two purposes. One, to substitute liabilities, and secondly, to have funds to continue the expansion of the company. That's with regards to bonds. With regards to the tax rate, you're right. If we compared 2015 and 2016, we paid less expenses in 2016. It's like 20% less. And it's because of two effects. When it comes to Sur Americana, there are more expenses, including a fiscal loss from a derivative with the acquisition of RSA, and those lower expenses give us more deductibility. And with regards to Grupo Sura, the mixture of dividends, taxed and non-taxed, was modified to 15, and both effects make that when you look at the tax rate in a consolidated level, it's more on a 20 than a 30. Cesar, this is Andres Bernal. With regards to your question to Mexico, corporate-wise, with Mexico peso, we began this year to make coverages of the dividends that we will be receiving from Mexico this year. So we have peace of mind because we have a good rate. And honestly, analysts are giving a very wide ranges. The exchange rate is at 21. There are others, they're talking about 25 and even 28. So we decided to make the hedges at the beginning of the year. Second question is the yield of the affiliates. We have a sound yield, and they're very sound in dollars, and that's why we could have a better ranking right now, first among the five that there are in Mexico, although really all of the Afores funds in Mexico had a significant drop of about 10% in the last month and a half. For this year, now we see that everything is much more stable. There's more moderate yields, and surely we'll receive better returns. And obviously with this, we will have positive points compared to the others. Thank you for your answers. My pleasure. Next question, Stefania Mosqueda from Credicorp Capital. Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I'd like to understand more how the taxes are handled, especially in the fourth Q. because we saw lower taxes for Sudamericana and Suda Asset Management, but relatively high Grupo Suda with a rate of more than 40%. I understand that this has to do with the corporate segment, but could you give us more insight? Allow me to explain. When it comes to Sudamericana, as I told you before, we had non-recurrent expenses, for instance, those of the connection with the new affiliates, which increased significantly expenses compared to the prior period. And really, that's a consideration to see that our taxes are lower for the end of 2016. With regards to Suda Asset Management, the rate even increased compared to the year before. It grew 20.8% and net profit 2.8%. So this slight improvement is because of the deferred taxes. But really there is stability in local rates and corporate. Stefania, when it comes to Grupo Suda, it really shows the impact that Juan Fernando Uribe mentioned and Andres Bernard. We're talking about a change in the mix of tax and non-tax dividends. And so I would say if you have further questions, we can speak individually, separately about this, because we have to look at the deferred and current tax as well. But given our time restriction, that's the general answer we can give you. And again, we're willing to answer your further questions if you need any more answers. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. Next question, Daniel Guardiola. Good morning. I have a question. It's simple and has to do with the authorization for the issuance of preferential stocks. I'd like to know what's the rationale used that the people, in case the group will issue bonds, what is the rationale? Well, this is the reason. When the regulation was made, we included that article that says that the shareholders or the owners of preferential stocks are entitled if there's a number of preferential stocks changed, either through an issuance or an eventual repurchase of stocks by the company, the 70% of the shareholders would have to provide their approval. This article is not in any other regulation of preferential stocks in Colombia. And it's quite inconvenient because given that the shareholder, the preferential shareholder, usually does not attend assemblies, to reach that 70% quorum needed is quite difficult. And this, of course, limits the possibility that the company has to make future issuances to finance any expansion it may have. So we don't think it's convenient to have that article there, which unfortunately was included in the issuance made in 2011. And the idea is to make use that now that the distribution of dividends in preferential shares would need that 70% quorum, we also want to eliminate this article because it's not seen elsewhere in Colombia, so that's the reason why. It's really simple, and we say it openly. We want, within all the companies of the group, to issue preferential stocks without having the limitation that's so difficult to reach with that 70% quorum. Thank you. An additional question. If you look at your leverage, it's close to 5% of your dividends received. How do you, what will you do to improve this leverage? Are you considering to issue preferential stocks this year or next year? No, we have no plan to issue stocks. And I can tell you this clearly, openly. However, as I showed you in one of the prior slides, for us, every year, there's a significant part of the cash flow used to cover debts. And usually in the past, that's what we've done. We use the difference between the dividends received and paid after paying interest is used, and every year is used to decrease debt. And that's what we'll continue doing gradually hereafter to put our debt really at much more comfortable levels, although the company right now has no problem to cover its debt. As you can see, the company has a cash that's very healthy, but we don't want to surpass limits so that we can keep our rating, which is good. And the rating firms are already aware of our plan, and they felt comfortable with our plan. Okay, thank you. Our pleasure. Right now, we have no further questions in Spanish. We have a question that was made through the platform from Karina Ulrich, and she asks about the exposure that we have or that we could have with Odebrecht or with the construction sector in Bancolombia and throughout Grupo Sura. Thank you, Karina. I'm Ricardo Jaramillo. Thank you for your question, Karina. I would give you three different answers. When it comes to Grupo Sura, there is no exposure to the Odebrecht. When we look at the bank has no direct exposure to Odebrecht, but it does have one with Ruta del Sol 2, which is the project, but it's duly provisioned, and you know that the contract is being liquidated right now, and in this liquidation process, the resources of the bank will be returned. And if we look at the exposure of the bank in the construction sector generally, we can look at this in two percentages. 5% is a direct exposure to large infrastructure projects, meaning when we're talking about 150 billion pesos, we're talking about 5%. And in the construction sector, we're looking at the small and medium-sized enterprises, this increases to 8%, which is 12 billion. Given the size of Bancolombia, and although it's an important sector, really the effect is not significant on the bank. Okay, when it comes to Suramericana, we reviewed the ties with Odebrecht, and we found under the cautions in Argentina, Colombia, El Salvador, the Dominican Republic, and Uruguay, only in Argentina we see that there were policies issued related to Odebrecht or one of its affiliates. And it's for $105,000, and we're checking really the true exposure in Argentina with these policies. It's the only country where we really have that exposure. And with regards to the portfolio, I'd like to clarify that we don't have in Sudamericana any participation in any issuance of the with that group, so the exposure is zero. But it's important with other bridge to highlight what Ricardo Jaramillo just said on with regards to the solution given to this particular case of Ruta del Sol in Colombia, which is the case, the direct case that we have. And it's that the liquidation of this contract was a solution which perhaps was the best in this case, because in the liquidation of this contract, the resources are there, and they're enough for all the banks and to assign the project and to continue it. And really, the government wants to continue this project ASAP, so I believe that this won't be a chaos to develop this specific project. Thank you. Again, if you have a question, press star 1 on your phone. There are no further questions. Let's close the session. Okay, without further ado, we'd like to thank you all again for joining us in this teleconference. We wish you a good day. Thank you so much. Thank you all. This ends the teleconference of today. If you wish to listen to this teleconference again, it's available on the website soon. Thank you for attending. You can hang up now.